Good morning. Praise the Lord. And Allison, praise the Lord. Glad to hear it. If you take your Bibles and open them to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Special Music is sick, and a lot of others are sick, as I understand it. So, plenty of it going around. Look in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter, 34. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, could add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall it not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking you to have mercy upon those that are sick or in trouble, in need. And Lord, thanking you for the blessings of our life and what you've given to us and how you've taken care of us. And Lord, in this room today, there are people with many needs and problems, and some of them probably lost on the road to hell. I ask you, Father, for freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And that your Holy Spirit will give wisdom to these people this morning. I ask you, Lord, that you'd have your way in each life. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things he just talked about in these 10 verses. What you're going to wear, or what you're going to eat, and what you're going to drink. Isn't it amazing so much of our time is taken up with that? We're so worried about things like that. Now, I know some of you are real poor, some of you young ladies especially, because you got hand-me-ups. You know, I lived with hand-me-downs. When your older brother passed something down, he's generally too big for you, then go ahead. But all you girls, you got hand-me-ups, you're wearing your little sister's t-shirts. I wish your parents would get a little better... more money so they could buy you something that fits you.
Amen.
I enjoyed that. You know, the truth is, there's an awful lot of people put too much concern on what they wear. I've heard of kids being killed because they were wearing a pair of very expensive tennis shoes. Heard of people being really, really wanting a Dallas Cowboy jacket, you know, that had all leather and stars and stuff all over it and cost $300 or $400, $600 out here at Penny's or Sears someplace. And I heard of kids being jealous of each other because they've got a pair of jeans that has some special name on the back of them or whatever. We sometimes see in the movies, we hear about, I don't know that it's all true, but they talk about some big mafia fellow or some big movie star, and they're talking about some food they're eating that's just so special. It costs so much money and so valuable, you know. Or they got some bottle of wine that costs $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. That doesn't make much sense to me. I'm a poor boy. I was born in the Depression. My folks were broke and I grew up poor. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to God either. You can go down here to any one of these stores and buy you a decent suit for $100, but I hear some of these guys got $7,000 suits. What makes a suit worth $7,000? Got gold doubloons inside it, sewn into it somewhere? Gold thread or something? You know what? You can think way too much of what you eat or what you drink. That's not the most important thing about your life. And you ought to be real careful which kind of jobs you pick up.
Amen.
What kind of work you're going to do to get that money. Money isn't the most important thing in life. The kind of clothes you wear, whether they're in style. I tell you what, Christians shouldn't worry about being in style. You ought to be worried about being decent and pleasing God.
Amen.
But I'm afraid that in the generation we're living right now, that our lifestyles are controlled way too much about our desire for what we wear, how we look, what we eat, and what we drink. And so after listing all these things, and he makes this statement in verse 33, seek ye first. First things. Priority. What's most important to you? How do you prioritize your things? Some of you will put God all the way down at last on the list. Because you want to make more money, you want to get a better job, you want to have a bigger house or a bigger car or something like that. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Some of you are more interested in pleasing your friends at school than you are, or the people at work, than you are in pleasing the Lord. And you know, that's what Jesus is talking about here. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, the most important thing for you, number one, is to get saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, Allison, that you got saved and you trust in the Lord and you followed him in baptism. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord that some of you got saved. Well, I'll tell you what, some of you in here aren't saved yet. Maybe because you're worried too much about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to put on. You know what God will do? God will see to it that you have something to wear. God's not interested in you running around naked. He'll find you something to wear. You're not going to have too big a problem. You need to have some priorities. What comes first in your life? What's more important to you? And what ought to be important to you is pleasing God. What's the number one thing God could do in your life? Well, first of all, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved.
Amen.
If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I want to explain something to you. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope of heaven. Nobody. You say, well, that's very exclusive. What about all the other religions of the world? I tell you, according to the Bible, and that's what I believe. According to Jesus Christ himself, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. It's not by your religion. It has to be by the one that paid the debt for you. And Jesus Christ is the only one that ever paid the debt for you. He died in your place to pay your debt of sin to God Almighty. Nobody else has ever done that. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. You can be very religious. You can be a great success at your job or whatever you might do. You might have money in the bank, my friend. But I tell you what, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope of salvation. No way for your sins to be forgiven. You can never work hard enough to pay off what you've done. He says, thinking about all these things that you're thinking about in life and what most of us work for, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number one priority, the will of God. The will of God. Some of you are married and your marriage is not going real well, and that's because you got two selfish people living in the same house. Ought to have been a big amen on that one. But I guess it hit all of us, didn't it? You know what the problem most marriages are? I've been doing this 47 years. Man, I have listened to a lot of marriage problems. You know what they are? Selfishness. I don't get what I want. She doesn't please me. She's not happy with me. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Pure selfishness. Nobody says, well, what am I going to do to make the marriage work? What am I going to do to help somebody else along the line? No, it's, I don't get what I want. I don't have my way. I wasn't pleased today. Not thinking about my needs, not caring about me. Selfishness. That's one of our biggest problems. If we get out of that, why we could improve a whole lot of situations if we could just come out of that. Start thinking about the whole thing. How about the church? Well, what does the church do for me? Well, what do you do for the church?
Amen.
What does the church do for me? Well, what do you do for Jesus? We're not just here to entertain you. We're not just here to provide a benefit for you. Some people think that's all we're here. We're just like a grocery store. No, if you're a Christian, you're a born-again child of God, you belong to Jesus Christ, and you have a responsibility.
Amen.
What are you doing for Jesus? Not just certainly what the church is doing for you. Selfishness is the base root of all sin. You putting number one, me, I'm the priority, I'm number one, and you're not supposed to be number one. That's your big problem. Jesus is supposed to be number one. How about the will of God? Maybe it's not God's will for you to wear $7,000 suits. Maybe it's not God's will you ever have a big, great big bank account and be Mr. Success or Miss Success in life. Maybe that's not God's will. Do you know what God's will is for you? Well, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Number one, you get saved. Number one, you seek God's will for your life, and that will be that you repent of your sins and ask Christ to save your soul. That you humble yourself before God. That's a hard thing for a lot of people. They don't humble themselves before anybody, not even God. Now, thinking about this right here, what is the problem that we have in our lives? Well, mostly it's sin. We put things in the wrong priority. If you put money as the number one priority of your life, you're going to be in sin. The will of God is the number one priority in your life. Pleasing God is the number one priority in your life. Putting God first, and if you've got something else in the first position, you're not in the will of God. If you're living for something else down here rather than to please God, number one, God's not first. You don't love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you certainly don't love your neighbor as yourself. That's sin.
That's right.
Over in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity is separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, the problem in many of our lives and in many of our churches, this church right here, it's not God's problem. It isn't that God is weaker than he used to be. It isn't that God is now deaf. He's gotten old like Trinidad, getting old. And he's starting to lose some of his faculties or powers. No, God hasn't gone deaf. God isn't in a position where his great right arm can't save. What's the problem? He tells you the problem right here. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you. You say, well, I'm a born-again child of God. Praise God, I'm happy you are. Did you know that a born-again child of God can get a spanking from his father?
Right.
Do you know that a born-again child of God can get his life turned around wrong, where he's living for the wrong things at the wrong time, spending his efforts and his time and his testimony and his life on things that do not profit? And what do you think your father's going to do? Well, I had a pretty good father. My father would pull me aside when I was a teenager, and he'd set me down and talk to me after I got too big to spank. He set me down, and man, I hated those talks. Did you ever hate your talks? My daddy was a smart man, bless his heart. I know I gave him great pain. Just like some of you kids are giving great pain to some of your parents about right now. Great pain. Because they're trying to put some intelligence into your brain. but it just won't fit. Your brain is full of so many things, they can't put anything smart in it. And it's a very frustrating thing for parents and for old folks. My daddy would say, I've heard him say several times, oh, if I could just put a 40-year-old head in that 17-year-old body, we'd be a whole lot smarter, wouldn't we? God Almighty is a better father than my human father ever was. And God Almighty wants His children to walk with Him. Amen. And He tells you, put first things first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be taken care of. You don't have to put the world first, and you don't have to put money first. You don't have to put clothes first and food and drink first. Put God first, you'll have plenty to eat. Put God first, you'll be fed well, and you'll be dressed well, and everything will fall into the right position in the right place. David said, I've been young, and then I've been old, and I haven't seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God can take care of you. Now, what are your priorities this morning? Just my thinking. If I can reason with you just a little bit. What are your priorities? What's number one for you? If you had to write it down on a sheet of paper this morning, what's most important to you? Well, I want this. I want that promotion. Well, I want that boy. I want that girl. I want money. What? I want clothes, man. I have to have the right kind of clothes. I'm looking for a career. I'm looking for this or that. And all those things are important. Every one of them. Probably nothing more important than a person you choose to marry. That'll have more influence over you than anything except God. But you know something? God needs to come first, or everything else will sour in your life.
That's right.
All the beautiful things that you have, nothing wrong with having them. Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with having a nice car or nice clothes or having good food to eat. Nothing wrong with that. But if you put them first, every one of them will sour on you. They won't bring the happiness that you think they ought to have.
Amen.
Because you need to get your priorities right. You put God first in your life, not second, third, fourth, down the line. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1, I'd like to talk with you for a while about Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. Proverbs written by the wisest man that ever lived, according to the Bible, a man by the name of Solomon. And he said he wrote these things in verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. He said a wise man will hear and will increase learning. Now if a wise man will hear and increase learning, what does that tell you about a fool? Now which are you? Can we speak to you? Can you read the Word of God and increase learning? Or are you a fool that the wisdom speaks to you over and over again? Though the love of God gives you advice time and time again, you don't listen. Which are you? It says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Some of you guys going to college right now, you're getting real smart. Are you fearing God? Do you have any fear of God? I tell you, I still have fear of God. I've been saved 47 years. I'm afraid to do certain things. You know why? I've got a good life. God's been awful good to me. I'm still walking around on 2 feet, seeing with 2 eyes, preaching with a mouth, and nobody's thrown dirt in my face recently. I know it's going to happen. They're going to put me 6 foot under and throw dirt on my face one of these days. But every day you wake up is a good day. And God's been good to me, and He's been good to you. Why are you here today? You're here today at the mercy of God.
Amen.
You think somebody your age didn't pass away this week? It wasn't you. Well, you ought to get up this morning and thank God that it wasn't me. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you ought to listen to the Word of God and see if some wisdom could possibly come your way. He says right here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not by the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. You want to be dressed real richly? He tells you what to do here. He said, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. You know what? Wisdom has been coming at you from the voice of your mother. You listening? Do you remember what your mother had to say? Wisdom comes to you from the voice of your mother. God gave you a mother. You needed a mother. He said you got instruction of your father. Wisdom's going to come to you from the instruction of your father. You know the problem with most of us? We're smarter than our mother and father. So much smarter than our mother and father. It's amazing. I don't know how these little kids get so smart so fast. I see them smarter than their mother and father when they're this high. And I see them, they're still smarter than their mother and father when they're up this big. And some of you that are full grown adults haven't learned the wisdom of your mother yet. Or the instruction of your father yet. Wait a minute. You might have had a bad mother and father. Most of you didn't. Even a fairly poor mother and father gives pretty good advice to their kids. You know why? They're not worried about themselves. They're worried about their kids. They're trying to give them advice on what to do and what not to do. Remember this beautiful little girl, about 15, 16 years old. Smart girl. Man, straight A student. Beautiful girl. And she's just in love with the biggest jerk in school. The biggest jerk in school. And I asked, I said, what do you see in him? Oh, he's such a man. He wasn't a man yet, I want you to understand. But he's such a man. He stands up to the principal. He speaks back to the teachers. He doesn't do what they tell him to do. And oh, he's such a man. I said, dummy, he's not going to be able to keep a job at McDonald's. Who's going to help you with your babies? You know why I told her that? Because I hated the guy? No. I wanted to give her a little bit of advice about what's going to happen a few days down the line when that poor dumb jerk can't keep a job. Some of you don't think very smart, and the law of your mother and the law of your father would save you an awful lot of trouble in life if you had enough humility to ever listen. You think you're so smart. You know what? Experience tells us you're not. Ask any of these people here 30 years old or better how smart they were when they were 17 or even 21. They did some of the dumbest things. I hope you never do.
That's right.
I hope you're not as stupid as they were. They thought they were smarter than their mother. They thought they were smarter than their father. They didn't need to listen because the old folks didn't know anything. I've talked to young people and they look at me, well, you're just an old man. You're from Depression era. Good night. You don't even fit in our generation. You don't even understand us. I understand the Bible. And I've been where you are. You've never been where I am. And in fact, you may not be lucky enough to get where I am. By the grace of God, I'm still here. I remember riding early in the morning to work on 410, where FedMart used to be. This young man would pass me morning after morning on a real hot Suzuki with red and white stripes coming on it. And didn't even look like a motorcycle the way they had the body shape formed, you know. And he would whip that traffic. Now, I rode a motorcycle. I still got a motorcycle on my license. I rode one this year. But you know what? He's whipping traffic, and we're all doing 60, 70 miles an hour on that thing. And he's coming around us and going in this one and going on that one. And I remember in my head saying, I hope you live long enough to get smart. He thought he was smart. He's a good driver. He thought he was smart. He knew how to whip that motorcycle and do things with it. Well, it wasn't a month. I'm driving to work, and there he is, splattered all on the side of the road. His motorcycle's all torn up, and he's all torn up. He never lived long enough to get smart. Maybe some of you ought to listen to your mother's advice, ought to listen to the instruction of your father. He's not as dumb as you think he is. And he doesn't have his own interest in mind. He has your interest in mind. That'd be wisdom.
Amen.
That's a lot more wisdom than many kids have. I hope you're smarter than most. You know what else he says in here in this proverb? Very good. It says over in verse 20, just struck me, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth on the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, would ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. I thought about street preachers. Go down to Travis Park, the Alamo. Go out to some of these little towns like Divine and Natalia. And stand out in the streets and cry out the wisdom of God. You ever walk by a street preacher? Made fun of him? You ever seen him go on the streets passing out tracts? Handing things out to you? What'd you think of him? Ah, stupid. Fools. Ignoramus is, how could they be so foolish? Wisdom's crying out in the streets. Sometimes that message out there in the streets, the very message of God. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist. You know how he got saved? Street preachers. He's drunk. Professional baseball player. And he sits down on a curb and listens to a street preacher.
Amen.
Got up from his buddies and said, boys, I'm through. Threw away his booze and his trash.
Amen.
And they say he won 100,000 men to Christ in his life. Billy Sunday. Wisdom was crying in the streets, and one professional baseball player heard him. Others have heard him. I think about wisdom crying in the streets. And I think about people knocking on doors in a neighborhood. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you. I got my religion. I got this. That. Wisdom's crying out in the streets. Wisdom's carrying a Bible door to door through the streets. Wisdom is passing out the Word of God in the streets. Tell you where I heard it. Seen a newspaper lately? Great big black letters. Wisdom's crying out on the streets. So many people dead. Domestic disturbance. Got drunk. Stabbed the brother-in-law. Wisdom's crying out in the streets. Divorce, 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 divorce. And it's in the church. In 1900, most of the divorces were out of the church. Today, it's the same percentage in the church as it is out of the church. All you have to do is take a look at a paper. What this? It's spread out. 200,000 copies, 300,000 copies going out every day. Wisdom is crying out in the streets. Take a look at it. Do this and you'll pay. Do this and you go to jail. So-and-so convicted. So-and-so sentenced. So-and-so hung. So-and-so executed. Wisdom's crying out in the streets. Oh, you got a television, don't you? I got a great big one, 32 inches. I don't have no 64-inch, but I got a 32-incher. And you know, yesterday, wisdom was crying out on that to 1 million people, maybe 4 or 5 million people. You know what wisdom was saying? It was showing you a picture of a drunk young man, 32 years old. And he's sitting in the car, just stupid drunk. He doesn't have enough shame to cover his face. He's just killed a woman and hurt two others. And he's just sitting there, stupid drunk, 32 years old. Wisdom is telling you. The beer companies are telling you, get a designated driver. That's wisdom crying out in the streets. Don't drink and drive. That's wisdom crying out in the streets. Do you know, warning after warning comes to your mind through your television, your radio, your newspaper, through preachers of the gospel, through parents, through friends, through others. Wisdom comes to you. What do you do with it? God help us. If we're so stupid, we cannot hear the voice of wisdom. If we cannot see, if this happened to this family and that family, it'll happen to your family. If they couldn't get away with it, you won't get away with it. Wisdom's crying out in the streets. Every day. Every day. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You seek God first. You don't live like the rest of the people live. You don't live like others live. You take a little bit of advice from the Word of God, the Bible. God has allowed you to see so much opportunity. Wisdom screaming at you every day, every day. Now, my wife loves the news better than I do. It's always the same to me. Some dumb drunk run into somebody and killed them. Some stupid family stabbed the brother-in-law or the brother. Someone went into a bank and stole something. Somebody broke into an ice house and robbed them of beer and cigarettes. It's every day. You think that's a strange thing? No, that's every day. You say, well, I don't know them. Well, if you do, it gets pretty close to home, doesn't it? No, you don't know them, but somebody knows them. Somebody knows them. I sat on a jury trial of a rape and murder. And this young man was convicted of rape and murder. He was 21 years old. And the mother, trying to get him a lighter sentence, went up on the stand and pleaded with the jury and the judge. My boy's a good boy. My boy's a good boy. Please don't execute my boy. My boy's a good boy. And then the police brought the records up after she got off of the stand. I was on the jury. 76 or 78 days on that jury. And the police showed how many times that mother had called the police department to protect her from that son. You better listen to wisdom crying. You better pay a little attention to what's being screamed at you every day of your life over radio and television and newspaper and sometimes even among your friends. You better use some wisdom, not be a fool. Use some wisdom. Seek the Lord with all your heart first. Number one priority, seek the Lord. What can we do about it if we've been stupid in our life? Well, he says right here, verse 23 of Proverbs 1, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Turn you at my reproof. That's the message. That's God's message. Repent of what you're doing. Some of you are walking stupid right now. Some of you older folks walking stupid. You're not very smart. You're not very bright. You've forgotten everything your mother ever taught you, not everything your father ever taught you. You haven't listened to the Word of God. You're not smart enough to hear what God's Word says and do something about it. So whether you're young or you're old, are you in the will of God and is God first? Are you putting money first? You putting clothes first? You putting drink first? Putting friends first? What are your priorities? God says, turn you at my reproof. You know what I know? God is a merciful God. And if you repent, He'll forgive you. But be very careful. There's a warning right here. He says in verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said it not all my counsel, would have none of my reproof. I'll also laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. God is merciful, but He's not always merciful. There comes a point. There comes a point in time when you don't get another opportunity. That's like life. I don't know how many times I've been close to death. Good night. I've missed car wrecks just by inches. Don't know how. Had various things come my way. My life's been threatened many times. 4 or 5 at least. Since I've been preaching the gospel. I've had a .38 taken out, a revolver pointed right at my head. That much of a distance I could see the hollow point bullets in the revolver. He said, I'm going to blow your guts straight to hell. I said, first of all, it's not pointed at my guts. And second of all, I'm going to heaven. I'm still here. You're here today by the mercy of God. And some of you have been pretty stupid. A fool. That's what Solomon called you. A fool to despise wisdom crying in the streets and wisdom trying to tell you what to do. What you need to do, you need to repent right now. You need to repent and change your ways. If you're not saved, you need to repent and get saved. You need to fall on your face and say, God, I've been a sinner, I've been a fool, I've been stupid. Have mercy upon me and forgive me. Put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You put Him first, everything else will fall into place. You put anything else first, and it's going to go wrong for you. We're going to sing number 249. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, if you're a Christian, you're welcome to come to this altar, pray. If you're not saved, you're welcome to come and we'll get somebody to pray with you and talk with you about the Bible. You don't have to walk out of this room lost today. Amen. You can walk out of here saved. There are people inside this room that on one day they were lost, the next day they were saved. It was one day's time. It was an experience because of a decision. They with wisdom heard the rebuke of God and repented of their sins and took Christ as their Savior. You can do the same today. Let's sing it.